play this this interview I did with Mayor Sasser last night. It'll run for about 37 or 38 minutes, and then when we're done, I'll come back and we'll do some more prayers for Fukushima. So, Doug and Dawn, if you could please run that interview now, and that would be great.
Hello, friends. This is Ted from Out of This World, and I have a wonderful gentleman on my show today named Randall Sasser. He's the mayor of Mossy Rock, Washington. Now, Mossy Rock is a beautiful little town. It's south of Olympia, Washington, about 40-odd miles on the way to Portland, Oregon. But I have to ask you, Randall, what makes your town so special?
I believe our town, our people, our businesses make our town special. I think behind any community, it's the people that makes the community. It is what is the heartbeat of the community. And our businesses and our people and the tourism that comes to our community, they all participate in what makes our community a safe, open, friendly place to be and to visit. Our lakes are close by. We have great outdoor activities, hiking, skiing, water sports, anything that is available. But there again, it gets back to the people. It gets back to our citizens in our town that really are the heartbeat of our country, our community.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've taken a courageous stand by opening up businesses. By not enforcing Democratic Governor Inslee's orders to shut down all the businesses here in Washington State. Could you please explain your reasoning behind that? I think you're doing a great job, and I'm so glad you could come on my show.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be able to share the views of our community and our town and our city council. Mm-hmm. First off, I want to say that what the governor is doing is totally illegal. He is going against the Washington State Constitution along with the United States Constitution. Right. Where does he have the right to take away our freedom and our ability to make a living and tell us what we have to do? That is not correct. So somebody has to make a stance, and I was concerned about our businesses. I was concerned about our citizens as far as how are they going to make a living.
Sure.
You know, they order us to shut down, but then doesn't give us the ability to provide for our families. And in right. small communities like ours, mm-hmm. I believe that we are the backbone of the country. We are the ones that are the heartbeat of our country. And if you shut down the small communities, you shut down any business, you are taken away from people's livelihoods and way they can produce food for their families mm-hmm. and have an income to keep a roof over their heads. Mm-hmm. And so we had to do something. And so mm-hmm. when we look at the constitutional rights that the governor had, he had overstepped his boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've heard of businesses here in Olympia, Washington, which have been fined $10,000 for not wearing a mask during the day and while their business is open. I would love your opinion on that.
Well, all of these directives are coming directly from the governor and his ability to try to scare businesses into trying to comply with what he has ordered. First off, telling us we have to wear a mask, that is not constitutional. That has taken away our constitutional right as individuals. Mm-hmm. As far as fining businesses, that there is something that, you know, he says that he doesn't know anything about, but he has ordered his, I'll say cronies at this point to take heads of departments to enforce those and do whatever they have to do. And I'm sure that those individuals really have, they don't like the idea of having to do that, because I'm sure that they feel the same way as the majority of Americans do at this point. Mm-hmm. But the only reason why nobody else is really pushing forward is because of this fear factor that he has put into business owners' heads, that they're going to get fined $10,000 or $15,000. Mm-hmm. And that is not something that he should be doing.
Right. Well, I've there was a federal U.S. district court case that came out about 3 months ago in Tacoma. And the judge there, Randall, ruled that Governor Inslee had absolutely no legal authority to require masks, social distancing, or even business shutdowns. No authority whatsoever. And yet, this government in this state is like some sort of lawless entity where they do anything they want. And if businesses or people don't comply, they threaten them with massive fines, which are illegal in and of themselves. I bet you $1 million if you got a good attorney and fought it in court, the governor's would lose because he doesn't have any authority to do what he's doing. Nothing.
Absolutely. I believe you're 100% correct. We just look at what's taking place there in Seattle currently, you know, where they have Cal Anderson Park being taken over for 6 months. Where people cannot use that because of all the stuff going on there.
Yeah.
And they are allowing that to take place. That just gives you an idea of what sort of government we have right here in Washington State right now. They are in favor of allowing this lawlessness to take place. Same thing down in Olympia. Like you said, here we have no police showing up to protect the peaceful people that want to share their voice. They're nowhere to be seen.
Well, let me give you a little example that happened a couple days ago on Saturday here in Olympia, Washington. We had a group of people with American flags wanting protest. They were out marching and they wanted to celebrate President Trump. Well, up around the corner comes 40 or 50 thugs from Antifa dressed in these black leotards. They take baseball bats in and started bashing people over the heads. I think three or four policemen were shot. One innocent pedestrian was killed, and the when the police finally came, they came later. But initially, there were no police, nothing, no state patrol. They've all been ordered to stay at home, and this has been going on a weekly basis. Most of downtown Olympia now is boarded up. It's like a no man's land, and the only people roaming the streets are these Antifa thugs, and they love to kill people. It's becoming an intolerable situation. It's not the same town I used to know.
Yeah, and that's a shame because Olympia has a very nice district down toward the waterfront. I remember many times having to walk the streets and going to all the small shops and participating, giving my money to them. And now to see what has taken place is really a tragic scene to see. But unfortunately, our government is allowing that to take place, and they're in favor of that, and I don't know why.
I don't know either. It doesn't, you know, they have a police force that's not being used. There's a state patrol in this capital city not being used. Sure, when somebody gets murdered, then they come. Great. Thanks so much for coming. But I don't think it's the police themselves that don't want to participate. I think they've been ordered by the Olympia City Council, the Democratic city mayor, the Democratic governor of the state of Washington, stay away. You know, go ahead, have mayhem, kill people, murder, rob, whatever you want to do. Hey, it's fine. It's just fine with us. And if you burn down the city, that's fine too. I don't know where they're coming from. But frankly, I think a lot of people here are getting very upset about what the what's transpiring in this town.
You are 100% correct. I believe that people are getting fed up with what has taken place. I mean, this is 9 months of this craziness going on. Mm-hmm. There's 9 months of people losing their livelihood. There's 9 months of people losing their lives, not just to the virus, but through the other things that are taking place, the suicides, the drug abuse, the spousal abuses, the child abuse, all these other things that are taking place. And our governor seems fit to condone all of that, which he never talks about. And he should be talking about that.
Well, we heard. Go ahead, Randall. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
We had a support rally that came to Montserrat last weekend that there must have been close to 1,000 people that showed up.
Wonderful.
In support of what had taken place here. Mm-hmm. What was so great about that, there was not one incident that there was any people that had had any trouble. There was no fighting. There was no abusive going on. There was no confrontations of any type. You know, and through this freedom rally that was here, I believe that is what our country needs to see. And I think that's what needs to take place, because we are free. We are a country of free choices. But when we are bullied by our governor to do and to follow what he orders us to do, it's not a dictatorship. We are a country of freedom. We are a country of free rights. And that's what our Constitution is all about, and to give us those free rights. And when we have a governor and we have a Democratic party that takes those away from us, that has to stop. That has to stop.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. People don't realize it, Randall, but the Antifa flag is a mirror image of the same flag used by the Nazis in 1933 when they got defunded the police and took over security for the Nazi Party of Germany. The flag today used by Antifa is the same one. It just flipped over. Just the same exact one. And you have to remember that George Soros, who worked for the Nazis in 1944, taking property away from Jews, he thought working for the SS was his best job ever. He loved Adolf Hitler. And so it's no wonder that he's paying for these. He's funding these groups today to foment revolution and incite violence and violent crimes against law-abiding Americans here in the United States.
Yeah, also, too, didn't Hitler dissolve his police force, and he outlawed guns so nobody could rise up against him?
That's right.
And isn't
that's
it
right.
The same thing that's taking place here? You know, there are people right. are trying to dissolve our police department, and we got a Democratic Party that is trying to take our guns away from us. Well, good luck on that one.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing I want to tell you, I want to touch briefly on this, is that I don't think Inslee won the primary here. In November of this year. I know many people around the state. Nobody I know voted for Inslee. And I think he supposedly won the primary with 65 or 69% of the vote. I don't see it. You didn't see his signs out, a few signs out in Olympia. But other than that, you just didn't see any support for him because most people are fed up with him. I think when this elections are analyzed closely, I think they'll find out there was quite a bit of election fraud, and I fully expect this governor here to be in jail within the next 2 or 3 months.
Well, I would really look forward to that. And, you know, talking about that, I mean, there are more dogs in Seattle than there are, you know, children. So I'm just wondering if they had those dogs voting also, you know, to help get those votes in there. Yeah, I agree with you. Down here, you know, in Moxie Rock, I don't believe I saw any Inslee signs. Everything was Trump. And so I agree 100% with you that something just doesn't seem to be kosher there. And, you know, so I just really am concerned. You know, and when you look at, you know, the governor's race, all of those things that, you know, people you see cult signs everywhere and you didn't see any Inslee signs. Something just doesn't seem right. And like I said, maybe they had their dogs up there in Seattle voting also, you know, maybe they didn't really check their paw prints.
Well, let me tell you a story I heard a couple of months ago. And this was concerning the last election that Governor Inslee was reelected as governor. Like, I think this is his third term. From what I heard, that people were sent from the Democratic Party to recruit homeless and drug addicts in downtown Seattle. And they give a little money or a little dope, and they'd fill out the voter form. And that's where he got his majority from. I don't know, but that's what I heard. Whether it's true, but that's what I heard anyway. So I think there was a lot of fraudulent activity here in the state. The real ballots had a watermark on them, but the fake ones were actually manufactured in China. And I think that's how Mr. Inslee got his majority here, as well as Joe Biden, too. I don't think either one of those candidates really won the election here in the state.
Well, you know, when you look at Seattle and they open up legal places to shoot up your drugs, and you are giving them the area to do that, and they're not enforcing the laws in that area. And like you said, they are helping them out. So, yeah, come, let me give you a way to get your fix and then take you to vote. And this is, you know, you need to vote for this guy so he can keep these things going. Absolutely. Right. I mean, there is so much corruption and possibilities of corruption in the election system. I feel my personal feelings are I think we need to go back to the old style, original in-person voting.
Right.
You
with
go sign in. You absolutely, you know, yeah. And this whole thing where, you know, illegals can vote and get by somehow to vote is totally inappropriate.
Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more, my friend. I couldn't agree with you more. I heard that the story of Spiffy's restaurant. What happened there? Did the health inspectors come down and try to shut them down? And what did they say to them?
Let me tell you something. Spiffy's, they got a strong backbone. I have been in the Montserrat area since 1973. And I remember when Spiffy's was just a little tiny trailer out there alongside the freeway, serving hamburgers and hot dogs and stuff like that, you know.
Sure.
And to see what it is now and have the owners be ordered to shut down because of a what the governor is mandated is ridiculous. They are not shut down. They have been imposed fines. But I had some friends today told me, you know what? We went out there and had dinner last night. Yeah, they're not shut down. They're still open for business and not obeying the governor. There was the Freedom Rally people were there supporting them here a couple weeks ago and to show support. And I think that's what we have to do is show support for each other when there is somebody that goes out and says, you know what, I'm not going to stand for what the governor is doing. Right. I'm going to support that business. I'm going to support that community, just like what happened here in Montserrat with the Freedom Rally. They came and supported our businesses. There was waitresses now that were able to pay their water bill. We have people now that's able to pay their electric bill. We have people now that are able to go ahead and get food on the table because of what took place last weekend as far as the Freedom Rally coming to Montserrat and supporting all of our businesses, not just the restaurants, but all of our businesses. Because through this whole mess that the governor has ordered, it isn't just the restaurants, it isn't just the gyms and that sort of thing. It's all the businesses take a hit when they are ordered not to go someplace. All of our businesses take a hit. All of the gas stations, every little business that we have about 30 businesses total in Montserrat, and each one of them has taken a hit. And sad, it's really sad, like Spiffy's, for example, that they have had that business for over 50 years, and to see that they have a potential of losing it because of what has been mandated by the governor is inappropriate. He ought to feel ashamed of himself. You know, he talks about, you know, people and this virus. How can he sleep at night when he knows the people's lives that he is affecting and how he is mandating and ordering and being a dictatorship, and he knows it's not right, or he doesn't know the Constitution.
And he doesn't have any legal authority either. There's nothing there. A federal judge found it 3 months ago. There's nothing. There's no authority for what he's doing. Absolutely nothing.
You are 100% correct. And I believe that all these businesses that's gets fined, that when and if this thing gets done, then what's going to take place, you're all going to get thrown out of court because as one falls, they all are going to fall because it's a precedent. Right. I believe there was a gym in Yakima that was fined, and that one was thrown out of court also, I think, a week and a half ago. So
none of the fines that I've heard about have ever been validated in court. And that's what I've been told. There's no evidence that out of any legal authority. So, I mean, and this is a playbook of the 30s in Nazi Germany. Adolf Hitler came to power being lawless, beating people up, intimidating people. And they got rid of the police, and look what happened. It's the same pattern now in many cities, including Olympia and Seattle. Did you know that this past summer, when that Chaz area in Capitol Hill was formed, about an 8 or 9 block area, there were about 8,000 people living there, Randall. And during that time, there were over 4,000 police reports filed for serious crimes, including murder, robbery, rape, you name it, burglary. And so that means that one out of every two people in that area of Seattle experienced a violent crime. Now, also you have to realize that a lot of times people don't report crimes, but they reported these to the Seattle police. And it got so bad that when people were being murdered or robbed or whatever in that area in Seattle, they'd call the police and they said, well, because of defunding, we don't have enough officers. We can't come out to help you out, even when a serious felony is committed. It was only when in July, when President Trump, I'm told, brought a battalion of 800 soldiers from Elmendorf Air Force Base from Anchorage, Alaska, down to Fort Lewis, and he threatened to bring those military troops into Seattle, that the Mayor Durkin in Seattle finally said, okay, we'll do something. So I don't know what they've done, but the Chaz no longer, of course, controls that area, but the people's lives were forever ruined in that area as well. And when Governor Inslee was asked about what was going on in Capitol Hill, he said, I didn't know a thing about it. I guess he was just too busy drinking coffee and eating donuts, but couldn't be bothered by it. So that's the kind of leaders we have in this state, and they're absolutely terrible. And if the election results are falsified, like they were across the country for Biden, then these Democrats can get in as much as they want, and no matter which way the people vote, they can never be removed. They're presidente for life. It doesn't matter what they do, who votes for them. They simply gerrymander the elections in their favor.
That's correct. Well, talking about Seattle and what's taking place up there, just as another side note, they passed, they voted in to where the sheriff now is appointed instead of voted in by the people. And so now then all of the sheriff's departments up there in King County report to the city council. Now think about that. Now then, they have taken and destroyed the police department up there in Seattle, trying to defund it. Now they're going to be working on the sheriff's department next. I would hate to have to be living in that area of our state at this time because of all the potential problems that's going to take place.
Well, I have good friends up in Seattle. They're wonderful people, but they're moving. One family moved to Idaho, another moved to Montana. There's a lot of places people are just leaving the state just to escape it.
That's right.
You know, just to escape it. So,
well, and I think if we look at a bigger picture here, it's, you know, the governor and the legislative body has been trying to get a state income tax for many, many years. And I believe that, the governor, feels that if he keeps everybody locked down, to where the state coffers are hurting so bad, that gives him a shoe-in and the legislative body to get income tax,
Let's discuss that a little bit. And let's not forget that it was under Governor Inslee here in the state of Washington that in March, April, and May, over $2 billion, that's a B as in boy, $1 billion of employee retirement accounts at Employment Security Department were sent overseas, allegedly, to Nigeria. And originally, the Republicans in the state, in the legislature suggested, passed a measure that there would be security checks on the employment security accounts for employees, so none of that wouldn't happen. Well, guess what happened? Inslee and his employment security director took those security checks off the retirement accounts. So crooks were able to go in and walk away with over $2 billion of state employee worker monies, which have never been replaced. So if the state ends up with a deficit, guess who's responsible?
Absolutely.
Guess who's responsible? You know, I've also been heard that that money actually could have ended up back in a lot of I heard rumors it went to Bill Gates. It went to Bill Gates' friends. You have to remember that Inslee's daughter, Emily, works for Bill Gates at the Gates Foundation in Seattle. And Gates actually financed Inslee's first run for governor, and he won. And the second round, the first round was paid for by Pfizer, which is making the vaccine now. And the second one was actually financed by Bill Gates. So this is what you get, a candidate beholden to both Big Pharma and Bill Gates.
Yeah, that's right. The worst of both worlds. Yep, that's right. So true. I'm just really concerned, you know, if we as citizens don't stand up for our rights, I'm concerned of what's going to take place in the years to come. One thing I've shared is that here in Lewis County is that I'm concerned that, you know, right now the governor has the ability to call a state of emergency when he wants to. I'm concerned that in the future, when there is some sort of, let's say the flu season comes, and let's say we have 19 people in Lewis County that lose their lives to the flu, if we don't change his ability when he can call a state of emergency, he can call a state of emergency on that, because that's what we've had, loss of life through this pandemic here. And I hate to even call it a pandemic, but through this virus. Now then, what keeps him from doing that and shutting us down again? There's nothing that stops him, and that is not right. We have to be able to stand up, and we have to stop this from taking place. You know, what is left for our grandkids? You know, I have
nothing.
5 children, 14 grandchildren, and 3 great-grandchildren, and I'm concerned about them.
Sure.
And I'm concerned about what this is going to be for them, you know, in the future. But if we don't stand up and make a stance and change this, nothing's going to change. Somebody has to do it.
That's right. What, Randall, I admire you so much for taking your courageous stand and speaking up against this tyranny. And I would say fascism. It's absolute fascism. It's not democracy. I have to ask you, too. Our legislature here is supposed to meet next month. But the Democrats in the state don't want to have a legislature. They says it's, quote, too dangerous. What are the chances, do you think, we'll actually have a Democratic meeting next month? Or will we have to live under Inslee's dictatorial orders again?
Well, I think that, you know, he's going to continue holding on to the ability to call state of emergency and use that as long as he can. So whatever he can do to utilize his powers, that's what he's going to do, and continue his reign of dictatorialship here. And so, I don't believe something's going to happen. No, he's not going to call no meeting there. So,
what if the legislature just showed up and started meeting anyway? Who cares what he says? Really? Who cares?
Exactly.
Who cares what he says?
Right. Right. And I think that would be one of the greatest moves to do, you know, because to me, that would show that, you know what, you have overstepped your boundaries here, Governor, and we're not going to stand for it anymore. I think it's something like that should take place.
And I want to tell you a story that happened in 1942 in Denmark. In 1942, of course, the Nazis controlled Denmark, a small European country in Northern Europe. And they ordered all elementary school teachers within that country to teach Nazi doctrine to little kids. Well, every single teacher in Denmark refused to do that. And you know what happened? There were so many of them that not one teacher went to a Nazi concentration camp. And the Nazis were never able to force the teachers in that country to teach Nazi doctrine to students. In the same way, if we all stand up together in unison, we can stop this tyranny. We can stop this madman from killing our young people with suicides, with a fake police state, to lock everybody up in jail, to charge businesses $9,000 and $10,000 for failing to wear a mask. I mean, give me a break. The other problem with the mask, of course, is that they don't work. The virus itself is 0.15 microns, and the best mask, the N95 mask made in China, only is the best it does is 2.0 microns. So you're stopping a fly coming into you with the big holes of chicken wire. It just doesn't work. And the social distancing actually is a term invented by Bill Gates. It's a PSYOP term because social distancing doesn't work for the virus because the virus itself goes out 30 or 40 feet. But you do need the 6 feet distance between people in order to for the facial recognition cameras to work like they have in communist China. So we're not being told the truth about anything. And I don't believe any of the governor's figures regarding the cases. Actually, the COVID tests themselves have a 97% inaccurate. They only have a 3% success rate. And because most of the test kits are made in China, guess what? When you take the test, you often get the COVID the COVID virus yourself because it's on the test supplied by no other than China, of course, which created the virus. So none of these measures work. I was actually in Mexico about a month and a half, 2 months ago. Mexico has never been shut down during this crisis, and their economy is doing just fine. They have hardly any cases at all because everyone has herd immunity, much like a flu that comes into the country. Everybody gets exposed to it. They get natural immunities, and hardly any people have died in Mexico either. And it's the same thing in Taiwan and in Sweden. They were never shut down. And there's no reason for all these controls and ruining people's lives. And the other thing, too, to ask, Randall, why has Inslee let these big box stores like Home Depot and Walmart open up where thousands and thousands of people come, and yet he's closed down all these small businesses around the state, like he wants to destroy the middle class?
Mm-hmm. You know, that's the question that my businesses have asked me many times, is why in the world has he allowed that? Well, it's strictly a tax thing, I guess, and way they can control us small towns or small communities.
Right.
Yeah. You know, the other thing is, you know, the governor mandated that there'd be all the state employees had to take a pay cut. And so instead of a pay cut, they had to take days off without pay. And so, but he still got his raise. So, and when you look at that, he says, well, I didn't have a choice over that. Well, you do have a choice.
You know the background behind that?
What's that?
I had a whistleblower call me up about 2 months ago, and she explained everything that happened. I'll give it to you briefly, and I'm sure my listeners, especially those in Washington State, will be interested in this factual background. What Inslee did after the $2 billion was siphoned out of employee accounts at the state government, and that was thanks to him and the Democrats that removed the security controls. Microsoft products are always built with back doors, so somebody with a back door was able to get in, steal the money, and that was after $2 billion had left the state. Okay, that's the first thing that happened. What happened is that Inslee engineered a across-the-board salary increase of 15% for all state judges in the state because he knew he's got dozens of lawsuits against him in the state courts and federal courts. So what he did is he increased the salaries for the judges just to let them know that he was going to take care of them. And then his salary itself was increased by 18%. And yet then across the board, there were furloughs and state workers across the board got another 15 to 18%. So what happens is you shifted the state budget to the judges because he was getting sued to his own salary, another 15 to 18%, and then cut it across the board because all these employment counts were stolen through his actions, which allowed the thieves to come in and steal them from the computers made by Bill Gates and Microsoft. So it's quite a story. I have a lot of information on that.
You know, I've always wondered, you know, he always talked about essential people and essential businesses staying open.
Right.
Does he really think that he's essential to our state?
I don't know. Well, the interesting thing is he also said that marijuana and liquor stores are also essential. So people can go.
I'm on the air. Let me
they
call
can
you
get
back.
High on drugs, on the but they can't go to a little barbershop and get a haircut anymore, and neither can they go to a little grocery store because most of them are closed. And forget about going to a restaurant to enjoy family and friends. Can't do that. But you can go to a big box store and you can shop at Costco, where Bill Gates' dad used to sit on the board of directors. That's okay, but not for little businesses across the state. No, that's not good. We can't allow that.
Well, let me tell you a little story what we did here in Mossy Rock. When the first round of shutdowns came in March, and, you know, he already mandated that everybody shut down, stay locked down, and so forth. And
right.
You know, we have three salons here in Masarok, and they're all single chair salons owned by single mothers with families. So there, early on, we had phone conversations with the governor's office. And one of the conversations I had with his office was that, you know, why can't we open up our single chair salons? And they says, well, we got to keep all the salons in the same group. I said, well, up there in Seattle, you got, you know, salons with 10, 15, 20 chairs in them. So how can you keep our single chair salons tied in with those? I said, you know, they can mandate, you know, one person at a time, wash down, appointments only. They can do all the social things that they were requiring at that time, mm-hmm. but they wouldn't allow them to be open. Well, after that phone conversation, I was so distraught because of his, you know, telling his people to keep everything shut down. I contacted the three ladies in our town that had the three salons, and I said, you know, come down to City Hall. I want to talk with you. So they came down. I said, you know what? This is what the governor's office is saying. I don't agree with it whatsoever. I said, let's come up with a game plan to where you guys can open up quietly and to provide food for you and your families and be able to pay your bills. So what we did is they came up with a game plan saying, okay, you're going to wash down, you're going to have sink, you're going to use the, you know, the covers for each person. You're going to have appointments only, and you're going to wear face masks. Do everything that they said. I said, you know what? Open up. And they did. So the great thing that happened with that is that when the first round of CARES money came out, we put out applications to businesses in town. They did not want to apply. So they didn't get none of the first money. So then when the second round came around, I went back to those three salons. I said, you know, why didn't you put in for that money? They said, we didn't need it because we were able to stay open and be able to make a living for our families. Mm-hmm. And so to me, they did what was needed to protect themselves and their clients, mm-hmm. and still stayed open, still produced, you know, a living for their families and pay their bills.
Sure.
And didn't need to require to have that money. They gave that money to the other businesses in town that couldn't stay open.
Wow.
You know, because of the fear factor that the governor put into them.
Right.
So I think, you know, I think stories like that is important to know that, you know, just because, you know, the governor says something, if we can get past the fear and move forward and be bold enough, I think it pays big dividends, you know, and you look at the people that lives that have been affected and not just, you know, we talked about the drugs and the alcohol stores. Think about that, you know, okay, so he's locked everybody down, but you can go get the marijuana and you can go and get a fifth of whiskey and you can go home and get drunk and get high and beat up on your spouse or your children or do other things.
Yeah.
So where is the justice in that?
Right.
You know, where is the essential businesses when he said essential businesses? You know, essential businesses is gyms. You know, it's a known fact that people have to stay healthy. And, you know, you look at the statistics or the data that the governor says follow the data. Well, where is the data that shows that it comes from the restaurants? Where is the data that shows that early on where it came from the people fishing in their boats?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's strictly a control thing.
It's a control thing. He loves control. Ever wondered why Inslee doesn't have any humans around him at his news conferences? He never does. He never does. Some say he's a reptilian, shapeshifting reptilian. Reptilians don't like humans. They find them detestable, and they often have a large, at least 10, 20 feet around them. But Mr. Inslee never has any humans around him. Never.
Yeah. But, you know, there's a couple of days before Thanksgiving or the week before Thanksgiving, and him and his wife sat on that couch and saying that, you know, if things don't change, this is what I might do. Well, you know, he already knew what he was going to do, and how dare him sit there with a smile on his face and his wife with a smile on her face and be able to tell us that we are going to have to affect people's lives because of this. And right. I was insulted by his actions on that night.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think what's going to happen in the next couple of months, I do time travel. I do see him going to jail for election fraud. I think Culp will be our new governor early next year after they do a forensic analysis of all the voting. After all, Washington State had Dominion voting systems, which was notoriously crooked. And I don't think he had the numbers to win the governorship, but it's going to be some time before it all comes out. But it's going to all come out. And you watch, it will come out, and people will be shocked.
People, I agree.
People will be shocked, you know. But I want it. I want people. I'll find that federal case and mention it when I air this broadcast, so people can look up the decision themselves. I'm not making this up. Federal judge in Tacoma, Washington, ruled that Inslee did not have any authority for any of his regulations. They didn't have to be followed. That's what this judge said. I'm not saying it. This judge said so.
And I think if you get the one from Yakima, too, I think that would be a good one, too, because that was thrown out also, that lawsuit.
Sure,
so,
sure. Yeah, actually, I don't know of any fines that have been upheld by the courts. Nothing. So why do people follow it? I don't know.
I don't know.
I really don't. Well, yeah. Randall, you're a shining example of what the reason why this country was founded by George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, John Quincy Adams, and all the great, you know, the great people of history who helped, Betsy Ross, who founded this country. And they're all so proud of you for standing up to this tyranny, because people are getting sick of it. And they can only be pushed so far before they push back. And people are starting to push back now. And we also have to take our power back, because this kind of behavior is just intolerable. I mean, why should I be afraid to go downtown to the capital city and take a chance on getting murdered, beaten up, my car bashed in because the city's police and the mayor's state patrol refused to get involved because they've been ordered not to. I think there's a lot of good people in law enforcement, but they've been told to stand back and not do anything. It's the same way in Seattle, too, you know. I wouldn't go up to Seattle now if you paid me. No way. It looks like Beirut or some sort of bombed out place in the Middle East in downtown Seattle. All the businesses are boarded up. Who would ever want to go down there? I had a report 2 months ago, Molotov cocktails being thrown at cars, live bottles of gasoline thrown at passing motorists. Who would ever want to drive down there? I wouldn't.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're absolutely correct.
You know,
absolutely correct.
You know, so, you know, but, anyway, Randall, well, if there's anything I can do to support you in your efforts to stand up for freedom, please let me know. And I think you're a great man to stand up. And could you tell people how to get to Mossy Rock again in case they're driving, for example, south along the freeway and want to stop in and give your businesses some commerce?
Absolutely. I'd love to have people stop here in our wonderful town of Mossy Rock. If you're driving down from the north, you drive south to exit 68. And then you go east 20 miles to our wonderful town of Mossy Rock. If you're coming up from the Portland, going driving north, you come up to exit 68 and hang a right and go east 20 miles. If you're coming over from Yakima, we are 90 miles from Yakima on Highway 12, and you cannot miss us. Stop in and see us. We have a great community, a lot to see and do here. So I would love to have people come by City Hall and say hello.
Great.
You'd be greeted with open arms.
Great. Well, I just got more information on the lawsuit, and it's here in black and white. I'll be posting it on my, be sure to post it on my show and on the website too. But, let me see if I can get through this here quick, and I can give you a site too for people to look it up if they want. Let me see. Well, I'm going to have to look at it, but it's a good case, hasn't been overruled, and it is settled federal law. So anyway. Well, Randall, thank you so much for coming on my show today. You're doing great work for not only standing up for the people of your community, but also for the citizens of Washington and by extension, the country and the world in your fight for freedom. And we all need to stand up to tyranny. You know, my dad fought in World War II and stood up for freedoms of this country. And I know, you know, for the Greatest Generation and also for the people who established the United States of America, it was meant to be a bright, shining light for the rest of the world, not to be controlled by some dictator who doesn't follow any laws and can do basically what he wants. The courts are backing up people now, suing these irresponsible governors and mayors for exceeding their authority. Mm-hmm. And it's time we all stand up to tyranny.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And freedom isn't free. So anyway.
That's right.
Yeah. Great. Well, I've been interviewing Mossy Rock Mayor Randall Sasser. And Randall, I want to thank you so much for coming on my show today. And for those interested, please visit Mossy Rock. It's a beautiful community off of, what is it, exit 44 off of Interstate?
68.
Exit 68. And please visit him in his wonderful town. I know they appreciate it. And please visit Spiffy's as well. The restaurant is totally open. Yeah. And there's no need to be afraid of anything because there's nothing to be afraid of. As Winston Churchill said during World War II, the only thing you have to fear is fear itself, so which is nothing. So,
that's right.
All right, Randa. Well, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and your family and your community. And thank you again.
Likewise
so much.
To you too.
Okay, my friend. Thanks so much for coming on my show. All righty.
Bye.
Hello, my friends. Thank you so much for listening today. I just got news a few minutes ago that my Spanish show will be expanding to 2 hours from 1 hour starting next month. So I'll give you all the details. I think we'll probably start at 2 p.m. Pacific time rather than 3. But thank you so much, Doug and Don. That's wonderful news. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. We've gotten a lot of comments on the shows today, and I'm so sorry I didn't see them till now during the break. I finally was able to look at them, so I'd like to go ahead and thank everyone for their support. I'll try to answer as many questions as I can. Some of these questions are directed at Q, and I'll find out the answers from Q and then write you back individually, each one, as many as I can to give him what he says. Want to thank Lisa and Minna in Vancouver for watching today. I hope you're enjoying the show, as well as Bridget. And Bridget, thank you so much. Happy solstice to you too from the UK. And I agree with Dolly that we're here to love and respect one another and play together. And our intentions need to be pure, but we're playful. You know, we humans are playful beings and we should enjoy life. And this is what's living's all about, is to making this better planet. So we can also, all of us can enjoy life. Dorothy said, you're right about the news media only pressing the bad news. I've not had heard any good news reflected in the local newspaper for years. And that's true. That's what this program, I always try to emphasize the positive on my show and let people know that we have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us and that we're all in this together. One of the things that President Kennedy's told me repeatedly is that once we realize that we all have the spark of God, if you will, or the supreme being within all of us, we will all realize that we are one and that we should all work together to create a better planet. That's what our purpose is. Our purpose is to create a much better and happier place and not to be fighting all the time. But as we shift into these higher dimensions, that's where we're headed for, is a very peaceful and beautiful place. Give a little background in case people don't realize it, but there's actually 12 different dimensions currently. There's we exist here in the third dimension. There's also the fourth dimension of time, but we're shifting now into what's called the fifth dimension, where everyone will be able to live for hundreds of years longer than they do now with free energy, and will communicate most of the time by telepathy, as my friends in the in Telos in the Hollow Earth communicate. Lynette, hi, good to see. Thanks so much for listening today. Dorothy asked, can Q talk about what's going to happen to the United Nations Agenda 21 and 2030 that's moving forward? The message I got, I'll ask Q about it, but the message I got is that both initiatives will fail. None of their plans are going to work out. So that's what I know. I mean, they can try, but none of it's going to work as far as I know. Bridget asks from the UK, could you ask about the UK, please? Will it become a republic or the 51st state? Well, I think Britain, of course, will maintain its independence. I think it'll be a republic. I do see the royal family ending as an institution. in within the next 2 years. I know that'll become quite a shock to everyone living in the UK, but or at least it'll become not as important as it's perceived to be now. So I do see that happening. Let's see here. Trying to get to all these questions as much as I can. Kathy, thank you so much. Kathy Griffiths, thank you so much for listening. And people across the world are having freedom rallies. As I discussed earlier, every week now in Berlin and Frankfurt, other cities in Germany, they're having hundreds of thousands of people protesting Merkel's shutdown. There's also a huge protest happening now in Rome, across Italy, as well as in London. Every week down Trafalgar Square, downtown London, there's huge protest. David Icke often appears at these protests too and gives very inspiring speeches. In Vancouver, Canada, every week now, they're having on the weekends, on Saturdays, in front of the Art Museum, downtown, beautiful downtown Vancouver, British Columbia, they're having protests as well. We have protests here in Olympia, Washington, every week as well, against the shutdown. Even though Antifa tries to stop things, they still have the rallies there. I wanted to mention, Mary in Olympia, Washington says, during this week of Christmas, that the Star of Bethlehem will be observable during the week of Christmas. And she writes, it happens every 800 years. So this is a special time. I think this is a very special time for all of us here on this planet. I've mentioned this before, but I was talking to Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, Nostradamus, and President Kennedy here a couple of months ago, and they said they all would like to trade places with us now to experience this ascension on the planet. And this was when Antifa was beating people up and killing people here in the States. And I said to him, really, you'd rather be here now? You'd like to be here? And they said, yeah, we would. So it's a special time to be here. And for many spirits who wanted to be here on the planet, they couldn't. There was only so much slots and so many bodies available for people to reincarnate here on the planet. But it's a special time to be alive. And I know it's not been easy for a lot of people, but the message I get from the other side is to reclaim your strength, reclaim your power. That if you have a small business in Washington State, or maybe perhaps other states here in the United States, and you've been ordered to shut down, most times the governors of those states don't have any legal authority at all. I urge you to consult a good attorney to find out get some good legal advice on it. But I know that here in Washington State, there is a federal judge who three or four months ago ruled that our governor here did not have any legal authority for the shutdown, no authority for the masks, no authority for the social distancing, nothing. And so what this individual here, Governor Inslee here in Washington State, is doing now is completely illegal. If you do some research, you'll find out that I'm correct on that. And I can also provide you the U.S. District Court opinion by this judge, who said that held that our governor here had actually no legal authority whatsoever, and all of his actions were unconstitutional. If you'd like to send me an email to outoftheisworld1150, and I'll be happy to send you a copy of that judge's decision. And one of the things I want to wrap up with today, we've got a few minutes left, is to talk about Fukushima. It happened, as you know, almost 10 years ago. And I know Dr. Emoto, when he was alive, he passed away in October 2014, that he was very passionate about helping Japan and cleaning up the radiation at Fukushima. I mentioned this before, but Dr. Emoto found that if you put a love and gratitude water crystal, this is from the message from Watt, beautiful children's book, message from water book. If you put one of these crystals on a glass of water that's got radiation in it, all the radiation will be gone within 48 hours. And it's an amazing thing. And you ask yourself, well, instead of TEPCO, Tokyo Electric Power Company, dumping a million tons of radioactive water into the Pacific Ocean, why don't they just put, how much would it cost to put one of these love and gratitude crystals on the radioactive wastewater tanks? Nothing, almost nothing. You make a copy of this and put it on. Also too, prayers are free. And they do have an effect. Dr. Emoto found that if you put a water crystal like the love and gratitude crystal on a bottle on a glass of radioactive water, that all the radiation will be gone within 48 hours. That's because water has memory, and it will naturally go to the higher vibrational state. That works much far faster and much better and much cheaper than other methods of cleaning up radiation. I think the TEPCO, the executives at Tokyo Electric Power Company, are probably run by good-hearted individuals, but they just don't know what to do with the radiation. So I'd like to have the world help them out through our prayers. And if you could say this, please, we started this at the beginning to say, send this, when they say this little prayer, we'll do it three times. Please send lots of love and light, golden yellow light to Fukushima and to TEPCO so that these holding tanks will be cleaned up. It's a very simple prayer, and Dr. Moto found scientifically that these prayers do work. You just say, water, we're sorry. Please say it with me. Water, we're sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we thank you. And water, we love you. Very simple little prayer. Let's do it twice more. Water, we're sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we thank you. And water, we love you. And let's do it one more time. Water, we're sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we thank you. And water, we love you. One thing I'll be starting later this week too, I'll be working with at least two other Hado instructors who have special Hado machines. And we're going to, and myself as well, we'll all be working on cleaning up the radiation at Fukushima. And we'll be doing that through these Hado machines, where we'll put a picture of Fukushima and the holding tanks, radioactive water tanks, on these electronic pads, where we will raise the vibration of the water with these machines to the point where the radiation doesn't exist anymore. We can do that two ways, through the machines and also through our prayers as well. One thing I want to mention is that I'm scheduled to go to Peru in March. The country is opening up now. And if you'd like to go, please go to my website at outofthisworldreadings.com and click on miscellaneous for my spiritual trips. I always go to Machu Picchu and the hybrid human museum at Paracas, where they have hybrid humans, as I like to call them. They're half human and half extraterrestrial. They've got skulls there. The skulls themselves go way, way back. And they existed until about 500 AD in that area called Paracas on the Peruvian coast. And then they were killed by local natives who felt that they were a threat to humanity at the time. So they wiped them out. But their skulls are still there. And it's very interesting to look at them. Of course, Peru is a fascinating country, not far from the museum at Paracas. There's also a place called the Nazca Lines, which can only be seen if you're high above the planet, and you can look down and you can see all kinds of landing runways and pictures of birds and other creatures as well. And there's even a picture of a spaceman drawn into the side of this mountain in the Nazca Lines area. Eric von Doniggen, who's been on my show before from Switzerland, he said that they have actually found magnetic devices beneath these runways on the floor of the Nazca Desert, so that they were almost used by extraterrestrial craft when they landed in the area many thousands of years ago. I think they landed there. Personally, my own personal belief is that the UFOs landed there from another civilization, and then they stayed and tried to establish a colony, which was later wiped out by 500 AD in Peru. It was relatively recent in history. But Peru's an amazing place. I was there in January of this year. And while I was there, we went to a stargate called Amaramuro at the southern end of Lake Titicaca. Now, that's an amazing place. It's got a sheer rock cliff with a seat in within this red sandstone rock. And while we were there, I put my hands on the rock, and the rock started turning to jello. And it was turning to jello because that's a stargate into Agartha in the hollow earth. And it started opening up to us. Well, we couldn't stay there. Unfortunately, we couldn't stay there that night because the rainstorm was coming. It was getting late. We had no place to stay in the rock area itself. But we're going to be going back this year. And if you'd like to join, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Or you can go to my website at outofthisworldreadings.com and Click on Miscellaneous on the Spiritual Trips and find out all the information. I also go to Mount Shasta several times a year. Mount Shasta is a very spiritual and wonderful place. We always meet the people of Telos, and also recently I've been going aboard the Pleiadian mothership with Admahalosaurus frequently. We also see lots of Sasquatch, and a lot of miracle healings happen as well. We had some problems earlier this year where some negative entities tried to cause trouble on the trip. So I'm asking everyone who come on the trip to be of the highest positive vibrations as possible. If there are any negative entities who try to come on the trips, they will be excluded immediately. And but if you need more information about the trips, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can check our website again at outofthisworldreadings.com. Finally, if you order my book, Messages from the Masters, which is $20, it also includes a free reading. And you also get a copy of this article, which was published on November 23rd, 1963. It's from the Christchurch Star, where it has a front page headline about Kennedy shot dead. The problem with the article is that the newspaper published it on the front page on Saturday, November 23rd, 1963, because of the dateline, November 23rd, 1963 in New Zealand was actually November 22nd in the United States. And when it was published, President Kennedy was still very much alive. I did some more research on the article as well. And this article, the news article that was published in this paper, actually came from the U.S. Embassy in Auckland, New Zealand, on November 22nd, 1963, in New Zealand. And November 22nd, 1963, was actually November 21st in the United States. And President Kennedy was still very much alive in Washington, D.C. during that day. And you come to the conclusion after reading this is that this whole thing about Oswald shooting Kennedy was a complete fabrication and a fake story put out by Vice President Lyndon Baines Johnson and others who conspired to murder our poor president back then. But anyway, that copy of that newspaper article is included in every book. I want to tell everyone, I hope they all have a wonderful and happy Christmas. By the time we come back on the air a week from today, it'll be December 26th, the day after Christmas. I want to wish everyone a wonderful Christmas on my Spanish language show this afternoon, beginning at 3 p.m. Pacific time. It'll be both in English and in Spanish, but it'll be in Spanish and English. I have one of America's best psychics, Judy Kelly, coming on and also be playing some Christmas videos and Christmas music made by my dear friends, Carolyn and Jerry White in Olympia, Washington. I tried to get that downloaded and I wanted to play it during this segment of the program, but I wasn't able to transfer it completely to my studio in San Francisco, in the San Francisco Bay Area. But I will be playing it this afternoon. It's some wonderful, wonderful music that I got. We'll start that off at the beginning. And so I want to thank everyone so much for listening today. Also, at the beginning of my 3 o'clock program, Michiko Hayashi from the Moto Peace Project will be doing some prayers for Fukushima as well. She'll be joining me on the show. I want to thank everyone so much for supporting and listening today. Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. So if you'd like to donate, please go to my website at outofthisworldradio.net and just click on the little PayPal buttons, and anything would be greatly appreciated. You know, the purpose of this show is to raise consciousness and make this world a better place. And I know that if we all work together, we can create a much better and happier world. President Kennedy has told me repeatedly that the destiny of humanity is to create a beautiful paradise here on planet Earth. And that's where we're headed. In spite of all the negativity, in spite of all our challenges right now, the supreme being, or God, if you will, has decreed that the earth ascend into the higher dimensions. And that's exactly what we're doing now. What we're witnessing now is the final struggle or challenge, if you will, between the forces of light and the forces of darkness, between light and dark. And I know that the light will win because the light is always stronger than the dark. Anyway, I want to wish everyone a beautiful Christmas and a very happy new year. We'll be on the air again, friends, in about a little more than 2 hours. So if you're listening to this, please go to you'll be able to watch us on Facebook, or you can go to my broadcasting on BBS Radio. Just go to BBS Radio. That's boyboysamradio.com/outofthisworldradio and click on the little Purple listen button, listen live button for BBS Radio Station 1, and we'll be on the air again in just a couple of hours. So I want to thank everyone so much for listening today. And from and I want to thank also Doug and Dawn at BBS Radio for all their beautiful support, and for, of course, Q for coming on today, and Mayor Randall, Mayor Randall Sasser of the Mossy Rock, Washington area. With that, I hope everyone has a beautiful and happy day, and thank you so, again so much for listening. Bye-bye, everyone, and we'll see you in a couple hours. Merry Christmas.